son.
Roland Martin here, TV show host and bass tournament winner. You know, when I travel, I'm constantly asked about my biggest fish I've ever caught. Well, my biggest fish was an 875-pound bluefin tuna caught with none other than Angelo Viola in Nova Scotia just a couple years ago.
You got him, buddy!
Now, you listen to Angelo on the Outdoor Journal radio show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. He'll put you on where to go and how to catch your biggest fish ever.
Welcome back to the program. Boy, we got a who's who of famous anglers doing our bumpers. Huh?
Yeah.
Look at you guys. Boy, oh boy. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. And we have Derek Brandale and Jessica Ellis. Now, we've heard a lot about the retreating ice polar cap in northern Canada and how this is going to affect or is affecting polar bears. That's all people talk about. And it's not very encouraging when you think of it in those terms. Obviously, as real estate becomes a little more scarce for them, they're going to start moving. And as moving, all kinds of things come to mind. But I read an article recently that grizzly bears are now moving into territories which previously were home to polar bears. So the grizzlies are moving north, the polars are moving south, and it's inevitable. This is Game of Thrones all over again. Think about it. It's Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Winter is coming.
It's true.
Right? And the clash is inevitable. Can the two of those creatures coexist? Or will this be the end of maybe one of them or create other issues that we haven't thought about? Joining us now is Dr. Douglas Clark. He is a wildlife researcher and associate professor in the School of Environmental Science and Sustainability at the University of Saskatchewan.
Hi, Angelo. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Doing fine, thank you.
This sounds like it could be a lot bigger than most of us will probably. I mean, I made a little fun there, but it's not not something we should joke about. This could be very serious. Talk to us about the situation.
For sure. Well, you know, it's kind of an indicator of some big things that are going on, but you know, I've got no problem with a little bit of humor. I'm still chuckling over your Game of Thrones metaphor there. I'm gonna work on that. I may use that. Thank you. So, I mean, the thing you really got to know here is that the species are responding to different things going on in their environment. Polar bears, their habitat's sea ice. What they like to do and what they need to do is spend time out on the sea ice hunting seals. And what we're seeing going on, but at different rates in different parts of the Arctic, is that the duration of the time that sea ice is around and the thickness and the characteristics of the ice are changing. And in a place like Hudson and James Bay, which has a couple of different populations of polar bears in it, in the western half of the bay, in the eastern half of the bay, and then up north, Fox Basin is different yet again, the ice melts out of the bay for 4 to 5 months at a time, and it always has. So the bears around the bay, they're used to a fair amount of time ashore, but what that means is they've got to store up enough fat to make it through an onshore period where there's really not a lot of food. They will eat other stuff when they're on shore, but, you know, it's pretty hard to substitute for a ringed seal, which is, you know, pretty darn chubby and pretty high quality food. Grizzlies, on the other hand, they're an omnivore. They live on land. They like open habitat. Something is going on in the Arctic, and they're expanding their range enormously. In Manitoba, they were previously thought to have been gone from the province for, well over 100 years. And in the late 1990s, people started seeing them in the far north of the province. And I was fortunate enough with a team from Parks Canada to see one of the first grizzlies in the province in 1998. And it took us a while to realize exactly what we were seeing. How they're making a living up there, we don't know. But what we do know is that they're making a very good living. I've had remote cameras out studying polar bear human interactions for 8 years now, and we've been seeing grizzly bears on them every year. They've been starting to come into town. People are starting to have a few issues with them, and other communities around Hudson Bay are having the same issues. So different things are going on, and the species are responding in different ways.
How would you categorize this? Is this a migration from the grizzlies moving north, or polar bears moving south? Which one is encroaching?
Sure. Well, polar bears' range hasn't shifted yet. It may in the future, and we may not have a whole lot of warning about that. With the grizzlies, what's going on sure looks like a range expansion. And what's really interesting is that it's not an expansion northward. If anything, it's an expansion southeastward. The nearest population to northern Manitoba is northwest there, up in the Thelon Game Sanctuary and adjoining areas of the NWT and Nunavut. Grizzlies have been known up there for a long time, but they've expanded south and they've expanded east.
Okay, I've got to ask you, and once again, I don't want to make this thing anything less than the tragedy that it could be, but in your opinion, as a scientist, which one would win out in this battle?
Well, that's a really good question, and we've been placing bets informally amongst ourselves for a very long time. A colleague of mine was teaching a field course up in Churchill this summer, and they saw a very large grizzly on the coast. They had a really good look at it, and from what I gather, some of them on a later flight saw it chasing a polar bear. Yeah, grizzlies, it's not so much about the size of the bear, it's about the attitude. Colleagues in Alaska who study them when they interact on whale carcasses up there, they say that, you know, quite often polar bears will make themselves scarce when a grizzly shows up. But we don't really know what the full range of outcomes is going to be, because we see grizzlies dominate polar bears one-on-one in interactions. We've even seen them killing them and eating them up on the sea ice in the Northwest Territories. Mitch Taylor saw that back in the 1980s. But then we see the complete opposite, where they hybridize. And that's also been seen in the Northwest Territories. And some of those hybrids that were shot were actually second-generation hybrids. So there's the potential for a whole wide range of interactions. And if you dig deep into the history of the two species, it's not that surprising, because a polar bear is really nothing more than a very highly modified grizzly bear that's really well adapted to the Arctic environment. They have not been different species for long enough that they can't interbreed and produce fertile offspring.
Wow, that would be interesting. How soon before we need to start worrying about grizzlies here in Ontario? I mean, Manitoba, you know, Churchill, Manitoba is 200 kilometers west of the Ontario border.
Well, it's a little more than 200K, but you're right. It's close, and it's a pretty continuous strip of tundra from Churchill all the way down right about to James Bay. I wish I knew. I've been asked this question a bunch of times. It would not surprise, and let me be really, really clear before I say what won't surprise me. I have not documented polar bears moving over into Ontario. My study area is Manitoba, Wapisk National Park in the area right around there. But Ontario is not far away. The habitat is the same. Talking to other biologists in the area, they've made it east of the Nelson River, and that's the big river to cross up there between Churchill and the Ontario border. And once upon a time, I read an old management plan, probably from the 1980s, for Polar Bear Provincial Park in Ontario. And there was buried deep in the appendix, the author talked about a grizzly bear being shot out of, I think it was Fort Severn, but one of the Northern Ontario communities.
Wow.
The tone of that little appendix report was skeptical, because in the 1980s, people weren't even seeing them in Manitoba. So, you know, that would have been quite out of context for the author. And, you know, it's taken scientists a while to realize that, yeah, in the north, we really need to pay attention to what local people see, because they're up there a lot more than we are.
Yeah.
But now, you know, looking back, that seems to me entirely plausible. They may already be up there. I don't know if you're ever going to see a whole lot of them in northern Ontario, because that strip of open tundra habitat along the coast is not very wide. So they'd have a lot of length to wander, but not a lot of depth. You know, if they're not there already, I would not be surprised to see them showing up in the future.
Wow. Want to really thank you for joining us, Dr. Clark, and I'd like to just add this. If you would be so kind to keep us updated, let us know. We'd love to have you back when you've got some more information on this movement of grizzly bears. I still want to see a grizzly and a polar bear go at it, though. I think that'd be very cool. Somebody's going to get that on video. You know that, right?
It would be something. And yes, that going at it on video could take one of a number of different forms with a number of different outcomes.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Angelo. Have a great autumn.
You too. Dr. Douglas A. Clark, Associate Professor, School of Environment and Sustainability at the University of Saskatchewan. Wow. That's interesting.
Very fascinating.